Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You're listening to CBS Sports Radio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all live, all the time.
And we're rocking hard with you on a Saturday morning at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. These are challenging times. Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com, from their home to yours. The team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Anthony Pierno is at the controls, and we welcome in our guest from the Wall Street Journal, talking about Major League Baseball. Will it come back? When it comes back? What will the money situation be? A frequent guest of ours here on The Fan in New York and on CBS Sports Radio, Jared Diamond joins us. Jared, how are you doing this morning?
I'm hanging in there. How are you?
Pretty good. Well, the dispute is underway. We heard the smoking guns memo this week, where Major League Baseball said, hey, guys, you know, if we do come back and there are no fans in the seats, you might have to take another haircut. How do you think this is working out? Are there negotiations going on privately, or is this kind of a standoff at the moment?
Yeah, the surprising thing about this is how little they actually have been talking in person, and how much they have been talking through the media instead. They have not had a formal meeting since last week, the beginning of last week. Now, that's going to change soon. The expectation that the league is finally going to submit to the union an economic proposal right after this holiday weekend, the expectation that they're going to finally get back to the virtual negotiating table on Tuesday. But the clock's ticking here, because if they want to be playing baseball by the 4th of July, which is no doubt their goal, they really have to have this done by the end of this month, maybe very early in June. And that only gives them about a week or so once they get back to the table.
Yeah, and spring training would start around, what, the middle of June, June 15th or so. And it would be a truncated spring training. Hopefully, guys have been working out enough so that pitchers would be able to throw at least five innings. But, you know, it's still, you're going to see expanded rosters, I'd imagine.
Absolutely. It's going to be required. You know, one thing that we've seen in other countries that are playing baseball right now, like Korea and Taiwan, is they have seen a lot of injuries, way more than you'd expect in a typical first month of the season. And they've seen generally velocities down, lower than you would typically expect, which suggests that there was some issues with trying to return after the layoff. So it's going to be something that everyone's going to have to pay attention to. The players would love 4 weeks of spring training. Now, they're not going to get that. They're probably going to get three. So the solution is going to be expanded rosters, more pitchers. And I think fans would have to expect that, at least at the beginning, it's not going to be the same quality of play that maybe you're used to at the major league level.
And in terms of offense versus pitching, you know, we hear all the time in spring training, well, it takes the pitchers longer to get ready than the hitters. Hitters can get ready in 10 days, maybe, you know, get their timing in. So do you think we'll see increased offense if the season starts in early July?
I do think pitchers are going to be behind for sure if this gets going. Hitters often say that as long as they get, you know, a few at-bats, 10, 15, 20 at-bats against live pitching, they're pretty much good to go. Pitchers, on the other hand, are so used to this very regimented schedule, needing to build up. They're always working backwards from opening day, but now for months they've had no idea when opening day would be. Every single pitcher's in a different situation in terms of how much work he's been able to do. Some are probably still built up. Some probably are ice cold again and starting from scratch. So it's going to be something unlike we've ever seen, but that sort of applies to everything in baseball or any sport, I think, moving forward now.
I don't know if you know the answer to this, but what about the foreign players? Are most of them still in this country, or do a lot of them have to come from other lands to get here?
Many have stayed. The ones who sort of could stay, stay. They were encouraged to stay if they had the ability to, if they had a place to live. They were sort of told to check in with their teams, see if they could sort of help them find a place to stay here. But not everybody did. Now, there is good news, I guess. There was an order signed yesterday by the Department of Homeland Security that allows an exemption for professional athletes to return to this country, getting around any travel restrictions that might exist. So that is now sort of official U.S. law, so to speak. So at least there's no concerns about them getting back into the U.S., but certainly the ones that are back in their country, you have to imagine, might not have had the resources to stay in shape that some of the guys here might have had.
Well, I imagine, though, even if they're allowed back in, that they will be heavily screened. And if they do turn into be carriers of the virus, they may have to be quarantined for a period of time, no?
No, absolutely. But really, that's going to be the case with every player. Every player is going to go through sort of a pre-screen, get tested for antibodies before spring training starts. So they're going to know sort of the coronavirus positive or negative for every single player. And those who test positive are going to be, you know, not show up to spring training or be staying in their homes or hotels until they're better. So that's going to apply to everybody. And that's going to sort of be the first step of this very ambitious testing plan that baseball's trying to have here, where everyone's getting tested at least a few times a week, if not more. And keeping guys quarantined who are positive, it's really going to be a fascinating experiment to see if they can make this work.
Talking to Jared Diamond of the Wall Street Journal. And Jared, I have to believe that somebody is going to test positive after they start playing. I mean, I think it's almost impossible to avoid that. And I'm just wondering, is there a number, a percentage, a certain point where they might say, you know, we have too much of a spike here, we have to shut it down? Have they thought, I'm sure they've thought about it, but is there anything, you know, any suggested guideline in terms of that?
I'm sure they've thought about it. And you're 100% right that somebody is going to test positive. If you play a baseball season for 4 months, you're not going to not have any positives. In fact, I don't even think sort of it's anyone's goal or expectation to not have positives. The goal is to be able to get sort of identify them quick enough that you could prevent a big outbreak, and baseball is insisting that it will be able to do that. But you're totally right that there is some threshold where if all of a sudden an entire team tests positive, this thing sweeps through a clubhouse because something went wrong with the testing, or there was a false reading, or they just didn't test enough to know that somebody was positive before it was too late. Yeah, it's a huge problem, and baseball is saying that it won't happen and that they're prepared and that they're not going to have to shut down the season. But I think, like so many things right now in the world, no one really is going to know until we get there, and this is all uncharted territory. And absolutely, I'm sure there is a world where this shuts down. I mean, everyone in baseball is concerned about this, you know, expected second wave of cases in the fall. Will they even be able to finish the season? No one really knows anything, and they're just, you know, they're being as prepared as they can, but there's an element to this of just figuring it out as they go, unfortunately.
Well, you raise the interesting specter of a team, because let's say that 29 teams are fine and positive and okay, and there's one team where it's swept through the clubhouse and they have to shut that team down. can they continue the season with 29 teams, you know, with a schedule where teams are supposed to be playing that team? Well, they're not there. So what do? Give them a default victory or what? You know, what happens then?
I mean, the very sort of cynical way of looking at this is that the plan is there's going to be like a taxi squad. Teams are going to have 50 players available to them. And, you know, they'll have a whole sort of second team at their spring training facility just ready to go if this situation comes up. Now, that's sort of a very cynical way of viewing it. It's like, oh, if a team gets sick, we'll just replace them, bring in a whole new team. Maybe you could do something like that. I think the bigger concern for baseball here, like the real horrible fear that no one really wants to think about but has to at least be considered, is the possibility of a player or two or three not just testing positive but getting very, very sick. That would be a real sort of disaster for Major League Baseball, if all of a sudden you have some players that are in the hospital or you know, in real grave condition. I don't know how baseball or any sport would handle or respond to something like that. And it's really one of these things that no one wants to think about, but you have to assume or hope at least that these sports leagues are all aware of the fact that, yes, just because these guys are young and healthy and the odds are if they test positive, they'll be okay. It's no guarantee, and it would be real bad if that were to come to fruition.
Well, you've got Patrick Ewing in the hospital now. No, apparently it's not very serious, but he is in the hospital. So, you know, you've got a guy, and he's 57. I mean, it's not 27 like ballplayers are, but still, you know, here's a major sports figure. So you've got that going on. Yeah, I mean, this thing is all fraught with danger and all kinds of unintended consequences. But I think they do have to move ahead and at least try. They may get shut down at some point. That would be terrible. But what's the alternative? Just basically calling off the season, I guess.
Yeah, and you know, I do agree with you. I know there's a sector of people out there that are upset that these sports leagues are trying even to come back and saying that, well, we have to wait until things are completely safe or we can guarantee the player's health. Or
they won't be ever. Yeah.
Exactly. I agree with you completely. I think the whole world, not just sports, is starting to recognize now that we're going to have to live with some degree of risk. And the two keys are, one, mitigating the risk as much as possible, and two, sort of accepting some level of risk, figuring out what is the acceptable amount of risk here. And that's what baseball is doing, saying, okay, we think this is an acceptable amount of risk. It's not no risk, but if we wait for no risk, we may never come back. So I think that doesn't just apply to sports. It's all over the world.
Yeah, I mean, people say, well, you're putting a dollar figure on lives, and, you know, we're going to hear death panels again. But, you know, it's kind of like that anyway with insurance companies and risks that you just take going out in the morning, you know, before this virus happened. So, you know, you hate to cut it into Bobby Axelrod from Billions terms, but that's kind of the way it is.
Right. To some extent, I do agree. And the whole world, everyone's starting to go outside a little bit more. The whole world is starting to accept that we're going to have to live with this. We'll have to change some of our behaviors, some of our habits. But there's certain sort of things that we can do that mitigates the risk and still have some semblance of life. Baseball is not going to be normal. It's going to be very weird. It's going to be very difficult on the players. It's going to be very restrictive. It's going to be aesthetically very different. But that's sort of what it's going to take to try to play. And I just don't fault these leagues. And I don't view it as somehow them valuing money over lives by trying to come back. They should be trying to come back. Whether they can or not, we will see. We'll see what happens. But at least putting in this effort, I think they're sort of obligated to do. It's the right thing to do, I think.
Now, Mike Trout and a couple of other players have said, hey, you know, I'm not going back. I don't want to take the risk. What happens in that case if a player says, I'm not, you know, from a legal standpoint, from a monetary standpoint, if the league opens up and a player says, hey, it's too dangerous, does he have a case that he should be paid anyway? Or does Major League Baseball have a case that, hey, look, we're open for business and you don't want to come in? What happens then?
Yeah, this was one of the issues that was raised by the union and their response just 2 days ago to baseball's health and safety proposal. Major League Baseball has said sort of in vague terms that they'll have provisions in place for people who don't want to participate because of pre-existing conditions or age. in the case of umpires or coaches, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the union, of course, is saying what you're saying. Well, players should be paid if they don't want to play. They shouldn't be forced to play. This is, again, an issue that extends well beyond baseball. There's a lot of industries that are in this exact same boat where they're opening up. Employees are saying, I'm not comfortable going back, and there's not much they can do to keep their jobs or still get paid. Fortunately for the baseball players, I do have a strong union. This is going to be a topic of negotiation. At the end of the day, though, I don't actually expect many players not to play. Do I think there'll be some? Yeah, I think so. I think there'll be some, but I don't think it's going to be this widespread thing where you see, you know, dozens of star players not showing up. I think these guys want to play. I think that they're comfortable that the league and the union are, at least in this way, health and safety, looking out for their interests. And I don't think it'll be a huge problem, but hopefully there's some agreement as to what happens for those handful of guys that probably won't want to come out.
Now, will masks be mandated? Will they be voluntary? How do you see that going down?
The current sort of proposal that baseball has requires masks for people that are not playing. So like the non-players in the dugout are going to be, they say, required to wear masks. Players will not be. Players will be expected to wear masks sort of around the ballpark, except when they're on the field or when they're engaged in some sort of strenuous exercise, like if they're in the weight room or they're taking batting practice in the cage, things like this. But all of this is negotiable, at least when it comes to the players. This document the union is responding to is a proposal, and they're going to keep talking about it. I think the good news is the two sides on the health and safety stuff are rowing the same direction. They're like living in the same reality, and it seems clear they're going to find common ground there, maybe with some tweaks. The problem is when it comes to the money, at least right now, they could not be further apart. So that's where the real heavy lifting is going to have to come.
Well, and I said earlier, the 67-page guidelines, I don't expect any player to read all 67 pages. So you're gonna have violations no matter how stringently they try to enforce it. And are there going to be penalties for violations, or how do they do that?
Yeah, I can't imagine baseball suspending or fining someone for spitting. Mm-hmm. And, of course, someone is going to spit at some time this season. I mean, frankly, I think it would be naive to think that over the course of the season, there's no player that breaks quarantine on the road. They're not supposed to leave their hotel room without permission from their team. But let's be honest, it's a bunch of 25-year-old guys. I could pretty much guarantee to you at some point someone's going to sneak out. So you hope that that doesn't happen and nothing bad happens. But I think the ultimate idea is that baseball thinks that by putting these thoughts in people's minds, it's just that little sort of voice in the back of your head going, you're not supposed to do this. And that'll be enough for at least in many cases to get the guy to think twice and be careful before, you know, spraying saliva all over the field. I guess if there's some real, like, consistent violators, I'll have to do something about it. But I don't really expect it to be about enforcement as much as just, hey, guys, like, just be smart. This is important. Just try not to forget this stuff when you're out on the road or on the field.
Sure. And some of it's so habitual. Like, you know, the other day somebody, a lawyer I was dealing with, and, you know, I meet him and he extends his hand, you know, just natural thing. And, you know, your natural inclination is to shake hands, and you have to, no, we're not going to do that. And then he goes, oh, yeah, oh, of course, of course. But some of it is just habit that is going to be very hard to break, and we're going to do that. But getting to the money part of it, you know, there was a talk about a 50-50 split because of the revenue that is going to be lost not having crowds there. You know, the players are saying, hey, when we have good times, we don't get bonuses. So why, when there are bad times, should we take a haircut on this? And, you know, Major League Baseball can say, hey, look, when there are good times, the luxury tax threshold rises. Teams do spend more. It indirectly or directly comes to you anyway. So do the players have a better argument, or does MLB have a better argument on that?
Well, I think what seems clear, or at least likely at this point, is that this 50-50 revenue split that the league clearly wants, I'm not so sure it's ever actually going to be proposed. Now, that's been floated now for so long, and the league has been indicating that this is what they want. But they never have proposed that formally. And there's some indication from people I've been talking to that they never will, that the union was so adamant that they would never accept it, that it may not even come to them, at least in a formal way. So they'll have to come up with something else, potentially. The league is adamant that it is not financially viable for them to play with no fans and still pay the players the prorated salaries. They insist that it would be better for them not to play at all than to play under those circumstances. The union has asked for all this documentation, asking the league to prove sort of their case. I think at the end of the day, they'll come up with some other way. They're still going to ask the players to take a cut. One thing that sort of has been thought about or at least whispered about is, well, maybe we ask the players to defer their salaries. We will pay them 10% this year or 20% this year, and the other part of it will pay them out over the next few years. I mean, clearly the big concern for the owners right now is immediate cash flow. But this is going to be a weird time because, yes, they're going to take a huge hit this year, but probably moving forward too. We don't know that by 2021 we'll be putting 40,000 people in the stands. By all accounts, we're in for sort of a difficult road financially. People may not just be spending money on things like baseball tickets. It could be a while, or, you know, who knows how long it'll be before baseball revenues are back to where they were before this. So it's going to be a really weird time, especially with collective bargaining negotiations coming up in just after 2021.
Well, I agree with you there. I think it's going to be years before the revenue gets back to that level, if it ever does. But the other part of it is the players are saying, well, you know, if we take a split somehow, it's a slippery slope to, you know, revenue sharing and a salary cap, and they don't want that. Do you see if it ever came down to that, that it is a slippery slope that the owners do want a salary cap, obviously. The players don't. How do you see that shaking out?
Yeah, I understand why the players feel that way, because they're saying, well, this is just the league sort of using this crisis to get what it wants, sort of enforce its will. And the reality is the league has done that to some extent with other things. Like, look what's happened with the draft. Look what's happened with this minor league stuff, which looks like it's going to result in contraction. These are things that Major League Baseball has wanted to do and has not had the ammo to do it. And now during this situation, they've been able to sort of push these things through that it's always wanted, and sort of use the guise of this pandemic to kind of say, well, we got to make these changes. And the players say, well, we don't want that to happen to us. So they do feel like if we give an inch, they'll take a mile. Now, maybe that's not fair. Maybe that's not giving the league enough credit. But the reality is these two sides have such a fraught relationship. It is so frayed right now. It's been so bad for so long that I just can't ever see them believing the other one is going to operate in good faith, which is unfortunate, because you look at some of these other sports like the NBA, and it seems like they're finding ways to make these deals quietly and make plans to come back without it leaking out every 10 seconds. But the baseball league and the union are just such in a bad relationship right now that I just don't think it could be that way.
Out of time, but one quick question. DH in both leagues, you think, this year?
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see it somewhat permanently after this. This might just be that window into that universal DH you've been hearing about.
Think so. Jared, thank you so much for joining us. Always a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Jared Diamond from the Wall Street Journal talking about baseball. Okay, quick break, and then your phone calls, 855-212-4227.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!